I know by just exercising on my treadmill that I'm invigorated, I feel better, I think better when I get off. It's got to be the same with kids. So what does that tell you about what exercise does to the brain?
It pumps more red blood cells to the brain.
Uh-huh.
And we've always known that. I'm like you. When I exercise and as I get older, I do more of it, aerobic exercise, I'm sharper. I usually prepare my lectures. I lecture at USC, for example, tomorrow for 3 hours on probability. And I had a two-hour walk today just working that out. And the deeper I got into the walk and as I sweated more, the better it went in the exercise. What's shocking about this new study that came out, as reported today in the LA Times, is that the brain actually grew in these young kids. Sections of the brain, the basal ganglia, involved in making decisions. And then they've got another study, the outfit that did this at Illinois, another study looking at memory tasks, and the related part of the brain grew there too. I mean, you just wouldn't expect that, George. If the kids were reading books or something, and maybe that somehow made the brain grow by strengthening the connections or neurons, it might be plausible. It's surprising that something as simple as aerobic exercise is actually, when measured with an MRI, magnetic resonance imaging, increasing the sheer volume of the key parts of the brain involved in decision-making and memory. Now, it's really shocking.
Well, you know, and there's no doubt. I have seen elderly people working out, and, you know, they act like they're 45 or 50 years
right.
old, and they're in their 80s. Bob Barker, by the way, collapsed today at a gun range. He's okay now. They thought it was a blood thinner. He said he was dehydrated. He passed right out. But he's been active. He's in his 80s. And I guess, you look younger. I mean, how many older people in their 80s who work out regularly or exercise look 20 years younger?
They do. I'm looking at some studies. I teach a statistics course in the spring, and I clip these out of JAMA, the Journal of American Medical Association. A study on, it's called Walking and Dementia in Physically Capable Elderly Men, and the finding is that walking is associated with a reduced risk of dementia. You improve the cognitive performance. The same thing for reduced risk of Alzheimer's disease. Now, how much is a question, but now something's going on physically in the brain, George. And as you age, I think the flip side of this is your brain gets less blood, maybe 20 to 40% decrease as you age. And that may be part of what's going wrong with the brain and plaques build up in the brain. And when you exercise, you, to some extent, reverse that process.
And probably the same for the heart. You're helping your heart, too.
Right. The heart grows. And I think that's the weak link in the process. Your previous guest just talked about the dangers of heart attacks, and that goes up. Maybe at some point in the future, we can enhance the heart. One theory way out there, ultimately, is to even assist red blood cells with some kind of artificial nano blood type. Red blood cells. There's been various designs. Nowhere near happening today. But if you could at least maintain your blood flow as you pass from 25 to 50 to 75, you'd think, well, that'd be a good thing. But as it is, you don't. And as associated with so many of the things of aging, you lose tissue, you lose receptors. And so it's really interesting to see when kids 9 and 10 just put on a treadmill are not just the less fit versus the more fit, with the other economic variables essentially the same in their background, same body types, but just those two distinctions, that's increasing the actual volume of portions of the brain. It's just shocking.
And it doesn't take a lot of exercise. It's
yeah.
not something where you have to exercise for 5 hours a day. You don't have to do that.
That's right. And the concern of the authors is the growing obesity and inactivity of kids. One of the many unintended consequences of our wonderful electrical devices, we just sit down too much. And one study I read found that something like 25% of children just get no exercise at all, movement, really, once they get home from school. And that number is likely only to increase. So with obesity going up, there was a study a while back that if you're obese as a child, that the absolute number of fat cells increases, and you're going to be plagued with that for the rest of your life and all those bad things. The moral here is crystal clear, is exercise.
Yeah, it sure is. You were on with me a few months ago. We talked about your latest work, Noise. Give us a little update on that.
I do a lot of work in noise. I'm someone who really dislikes noise, George. I think a lot of us do. And so it just shocked me also when I learned and found that in many cases in science, including in the brain, including in the at least in the models of the brain that we have of neurons, that noise actually helps things. And so whether it can make you smarter or not is a different matter. But, for example, I always do better having some background music or activity or even the murmur of a crowd when I read than just straight silence. I tend to get sleepy if there's no noise. And the more we've looked into this, the more we've found throughout the communication regimen, including the lines we're using right now, that you could benefit from satellites to just about everything else with noise. And that had been overlooked for about 50 or so years by a lot of scientists because it causes so many problems. There's inherent noise in any kind of electrical device, for example. And now from the nano level, like I say, all the way up to satellites, and if we can tell the brain it's there, and increasing evidence that the brain has evolved to maximize that. And so for my colleagues and I, this is just the beginning of a gold rush. It's just one of those wonderful times in research where almost wherever we turn, we're put it this way, where everyone had been looking for gold before, we're suddenly finding platinum.
Did you see the movie with Tim Robbins called Noise?
I saw part of it, yeah. Yes, I did.
Here's a guy who was driven crazy by noise in New York City. And he takes this vigilante-type action against it.
I fully sympathize with that. And my opening sentence in the book, Noise, is, quote, I hate noise. And I do. It's just that, what is noise? Noise is a form of energy. It's just a form of energy you don't like. It's a signal you don't like. I was at a gathering recently at a movie premiere, and everyone was talking in advance of that, and could barely hear one another. I was talking to someone. Back and forth we had were signals. Everyone else's signals were noise to us, and just the reverse. It's a ubiquitous thing. We're finally beginning to harness it. The fact, though, that it can improve communications right down to, we think, maybe the detection of very faint gravitational waves, which themselves, if they're out there, tend to get lost in noise. And that maybe we can even use some of that background noise to detect those and related to that to maybe finally hear ET as we try to detect these very faint signals, these very faint traces of energy buried in noise.
And you know, Bart, what is noise to someone is not noise to someone else. I mean, if you remember the days of hard rock and things like that, that your parents would go crazy, younger kids would like it.
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing I do have to say generationally that the stereos we listened to when we were younger, George, were not nearly as powerful as the ones now. And we
you blow them out.
Right, and the ear damage is much more serious now, just the sheer level of decibels. That's an issue. And, you know, it passes into the law. The law of nuisance comes out of this. Noise is legally a nuisance, and it led to a lot of government. In other words, in theory, in the pure economic theory, if I start playing my radio too loud for you, you should sue me, and or otherwise we work it out with a contract. Well, the transactions cost of that are just ridiculously high. And so over time we got noise ordinances, and with that a whole body of law that you tend to have, for example, in your municipal codes. But it really cuts across everything.